Hello and welcome to Indie Author Diaries, a weekly diary with two indie writer mums. Your show hosts are Sarah Gay.
Hi there.
And me, Lisa M. White, and we're chatting about how we're fitting writing into our everyday lives, our writing process from idea to published novels, our sales, our goals, and more. And there's a lot more. Today, we're chatting about the ongoing costs of being an indie author. And this is episode 4. And I think if you're just getting started, and even if you're not, I think this is a good one for other people to listen to, because basically I like to hear what other people are spending their money on and how they're spending their money. And I just like to see how things compare. But also, yeah, we're sharing our experiences because, you know, we've both started from spending quite a bit of money, and over the last few years in realizing we needed to make things more sustainable, we've managed to bring down our ongoing costs so that this really is a more sustainable thing for us. So with that said, let's move on with the show. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Sarah. Would you like to get started and tell us about what your costs were when you started and what they are now?
Yeah, no worries. So I was just saying to Lisa, I never actually used to keep a logbook of what I actually spent when I began. So we're only going in a rough figure at the moment. So like when I started, I got the website and the domain and everything from reading that I knew I needed to set up. In the beginning, I actually hired a boutique publisher to help me publish my books. And I paid quite a lot of money so I could get original covers for my original series, The Curvies. You know, we're talking quite a few thousand dollars, and even just on marketing, doing AMS ads, Facebook ads, you know, blog tours, things like that. I spent a lot, and I wasn't watching what I was spending. I thought the more I put out there, the more I could make back. I was really lucky with The Curvies, and they actually did really well for me. Probably because they were in a genre too that wasn't as big at the time. So plus size it was just a new genre really coming out there. The problem with that is as the more series were written, I still wasn't watching my costs. And depending on what genre you release in, it might not go as well. So I jumped to contemporary and then fantasy. And at the moment, I'm back to doing romantic comedy. But so we were sort of working out my monthly costs were probably almost around the 1,000 mark, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah, so because I was paying for a lot of things. I was paying for a lot of other things as well, like newsletter builders and things like that. And they're great if you do have the money that you want to put out for it and doing swaps and things like that. I mean, it's fantastic if you want to do reviews, whatever. And if you've got the money and you're happy to do that. I found that it was just draining my expenses every time I stopped to write. And so we had to change that. So last year, Lisa and I spoke about how we're going to cut the costs back and not drain ourselves, because it can be exhausting, because a lot of it is to do with marketing or keeping on top of social media as much as writing, and even putting out a new release, you know, it can go into the thousands of dollars. If you want to do the big marketing, the big covers and things like that, because other authors are using them, cover designers and whatnot. So I cut pretty much everything last year, and I joined my newsletter with my website. So I actually go through Wix and use their newsletter send out, which is free with it if you only send out 3 a month, which I think is perfectly fine. So I pay $150 a year for the website and the newsletter, and the domain included. So I think before it was costing me around about $400 a year to do that. So I cut that down. Even Canva, I was paying, you know, $140, I think it was now, a year for Canva. And I mean, they're amazing, especially if you want folders and I'm terrible with order, so I don't really need the folders. So I went back to the free version to do my graphics for my social media. So that ended up saving me there. One of the best things I did is I stopped using someone to format my books. Mm. So I ended up buying Vellum, which was, I think, $120 outright. And that does my EPUBs, my Kindle versions, Mobi versions, and my print. So that ended up saving me just hundreds of dollars a year to use that. And covers, I have started learning to do covers myself with a little bit of help from some people sometimes. But even there, that ended up saving me, you know, thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah.
And instead of spending thousands, I'm now more spending in the lower hundreds. But that takes a lot of learning and a lot of upkeep, because you have to stay on top and learn more and more and more. But that ended up saving me too. So with marketing, I was spending quite a few hundred a month, like I said, and aside from new release launches, which is a different story, I've given myself a limit. So I don't go over $200 a month. And that's with AMS and Facebook marketing. I might try BookBubs later and see how the BookBub ads do, but I never really go over that $200 limit. If it starts picking up as more books come out, then you reassess, but I'm just going with the basics here. So every month to put out a new book, it's probably costing me now around about, with editing, around about $250 to $300 a month. So every month, still, to be an indie author living on the low side of things, it's probably still around about $500 a month.
But that includes your books. And how many
books? That includes my books.
How many books are you doing on that?
Well, it really depends with me, doesn't it? Because I do short stories as well. So when I'm saying putting out a book, I'm talking about one book a month, whether it be a short story, a novella, or a full length.
A piece of creative writing a month.
Yes, exactly.
With a cover.
Hence with a cover. Yeah. That's right. I always edit. It doesn't matter whether it's a short story or not. It's something that is really important to me, because I miss a lot of my mistakes because I'm looking at them so much. So I kind of know what they're reading. So I can't live without my editor. Yeah. And so that's roughly what it comes to a month. I would say still around about $500 a month.
Right. But that's a significant, like, that including the books. I think that's pretty good, because if you take the books out of there, that's $300 a month without the books.
Yeah. Well, $250 a month. I've gotten it down to running. Yeah, running author Sarah Gay without the book, yes. Sorry.
Yeah. And a little bit of advertising, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty cool, because I think mine is probably similar if you say that without, because what's 250 times 12? 2,500. Well, it's almost 3,000
3,000,
yeah. Yeah. So I think... Yep. Yeah, I think that's close. Okay. So do you want me to share my numbers?
You go for it.
Okie dokie. Because my books were attached with my cooking show in the beginning, so I went down the whole path of following, as I said, I did a lot of courses and coaching, and I followed the advice that was given. So I created a company, and my company has an annual registration fee, which it's around $250, $260 a year. And then you also need an accountant to do like the proper reports for that. So that's the company fees are about $500 a year, those two things together. With website hosting, I'm currently using SiteGround. So my website hosting, I've got the plan where you can host multiple websites as well. So I've got currently 3 websites, but I'll probably in the next year create a website for my company so that I've got a publishing company website. And but I don't have to pay any extra for the hosting. And I got like, the cheaper plan. So you get like 3 years of hosting, you know, but based on what you see on the website, it's, in the beginning, it was like roughly 180 a year. I had quite a few domains. And so the domain, is it called domain registration? Whatever it is, when you put the domain is for the year. I'm saying at least 200. I had quite a few domains. I had about 5. And I had multiple versions. Because I've got the company, then that actually requires a business bank account. So that has monthly fees as well, which is about 120 a year. In the beginning, I was paying for MailChimp because this was before they brought out the automation for free. And so because my list, despite my efforts and all the money I was putting into things, was quite small, it was about $20 a month, but that was still $240 a year. I also had like a spam plugin for the website. I use a WordPress website. And that was about $240 a year. I had insurance as well because I was doing some public events, and that's tied in with some other insurance. So that came to about $220, but I don't know how that number would relate to you, whatever you're doing. I purchased ISBNs, and that came, I think a pack of 10 ISBNs came with a barcode, and so then I needed to buy an additional barcode. And the barcodes were like $50 for extra barcodes. I can't remember the exact number for the ISBNs. I'm going to say around 200, but I can't remember. I've got that written somewhere, but I just don't have it in front of me at this point in time. With that first book, my advertising was in the forms of a PR campaign. So that was $2,000. And we also did, like in the early years, obviously you spend more in the early years because you're doing all the setup and it costs more. And so we had a photographer who took images for the cookbook and also headshots and some images we could use for promos and on the website. And so that was $750. I had a designer who I paid probably about $300 to create a series of images I could share on social media because, you know, the advice was keep your branding consistent and all of this. So things looked beautiful, but it was very hard for me to maintain because even the font wouldn't work on my machine properly. And so then I had to keep paying for the images. In the end, we redesigned them so that I could try and just change the text myself in a more with one of the other simple fonts in our logo. What else? I've got a note here, computer fixing up. And so I've listed that at about $300 to $400 a year. It was possibly more some months. And in fact, in the first 2 years it was, but that came under the website design cost. But basically ongoing, things keep changing. So like most recent, just when I thought I had streamlined everything and everything was finally working, that I could maintain it myself and didn't need to contact my computer guru every 5 minutes. I thought I'd made everything work. Then the GDPR stuff happens. So I've got to change it all over again. In the beginning, I had a lawyer because I needed to draw up some contracts. So that was another fee. That's going to vary depending on what kind of, you know, thing you need done. But, as I said, that's another expense we had. I did do advertising and like Sarah, I didn't really consciously have a budget because it was like boost this post for $26. I thought, oh, okay. It didn't seem like much, like 26. Okay. Yeah. That's not really much. But then you look at the end of the month and it was like easily $300 or $400. When you boost, you know, a couple of episodes and then you boost a couple of posts so that people will see it. And it was nowhere near delivering any kind of result that was useful. The other cost that I had in the beginning was I did a lot of in-person events to try and get the book seen. So the theory was I'd only have to buy that kind of stuff once. unfortunately, every event needed something different. And so I had to keep buying different stuff. So the things we had were like banners and posters. They could be reused. So we had a massive banner and a stand-up poster. I think together they came to at least $500, $700. And then there were business cards to hand out, you know, with a call to action to the website. And then there were postcards. I needed flyers to put in the goodie bags. So, for example, my book was cookbook, and I was at it's a food sensitivity friendly cookbook, and I was going to like the gluten free expo and things like that. I also did like another fair the year after, which required, because that was an outdoor fair, so we needed to get some portable tables and we needed to get a tent. And yeah, so you know, it just seemed that everything I was doing needed something different. I did a whole lot of tastings, which required some, you know, different kinds of consumables as well. So if you've got a fiction book, this is less likely to be an issue. But if you're doing a non-fiction book, particularly something like a cookbook, where you're doing tastings, it gets really, really expensive. You know, you need gloves, you need the cleaning cloths, you know, you need bowls to serve from that look nice, and also become props for photography for the cookbook images and things like that, and website images. You need the foods to, you know, work out the recipes and things like that. So those kinds of things really added on. There's also like some research costs, and don't forget things like the stationery, like paper. I like to edit from a print version. Ink, you know, your toner, that kind of thing, antiviral softwares that usually have a yearly payment. I think I forgot to add that into my yearly amount, but we kind of absorb that with the family one. So like family pays for it rather than the company. But, you know, you might have a different setup. Then there's other programs that you could use. So I'm not using anything for writing, but one thing I do like to do is pay for some programs that I use, so that not rather than having the monthly subscription model. I can understand why business do it, but I as a consumer of the product don't like that, because, you know, for example, in the beginning I was doing the editing for the cooking show, and I went and bought the very last version of Adobe Premiere Pro that you could buy. Because I wanted to be able to edit whenever I wanted to. I didn't want to have to pay whatever the monthly fee was, you know, in case I wanted to be able to edit one day. And so that's how we're doing this podcast. I'm using that to edit the audio. Yep. Yeah, you know, it's not like radio quality, but I don't think we've given any impression about our whole show that that's what this is. This is not a tech-savvy radio show. These are two mums trying to tell you how we're continuing to do stuff and trying to motivate ourselves to say, you know what, we've learned a lot and we've come a long way. And so yeah, our journey's a bit slower than other people's. That's okay too. But anyway, so with writing, the only program I use is Scrivener now that I've paid for. I've been tempted, but I'm really trying to put a hold on it and make myself really see, am I going to use this? Do I need this? What's this give me that I don't already have and can use from something I've already got?
Yeah.
And, you know, unless it's something that will it really save me time, that kind of thing. And obviously the other thing is like, you know, your other consumables like your USBs and external hard drives to back up stuff, or your cloud if you're paying for that extra, all those kinds of things, ongoing fees, phone, internet, that kind of thing. Oh, and the other thing I spent an embarrassing amount of money on was courses. I spent a whole lot on courses in the beginning. $2,000 on a e-course to learn about how to do online business. And numerous other e-courses, from running e-courses, which I've decided I just don't like running e-courses. So I did all of that and then I'm not doing it. I have Mastermind, which was like five times the cost of the first course. Numerous other smaller courses on different things, on Facebook ads, on making funnels, on making opt-ins, the whole thing. And out of everything I spent in those first few years, the most valuable money I spent was on a video course, how to film things, how to set up the lighting and how to edit videos, and a photography course on how to use my DSLR. And so if in the beginning, like Sarah, like I didn't have the limit, I thought it would be temporary, but I only have to like put these kinds of costs, this kind of money in, you know, for a while, and then it'll kick in and then it'll start paying for itself and then it'll be okay. But it never kicked in for me. And so I've had to really, you know, be a bit brutal in my assessment of how things are. And the other problem I had is that, you know, we spent all this money when we had one book, and I learned like 2.5 years into it when I found Ally, a year and a half into it when I found Ally, that, you know, one book doesn't sell. You need more. And so, you know, I've changed a lot of things as I learned more. And Ally is the Alliance of Independent Authors, by the way. But anyway, so what's the final number? This is only on managing the online stuff and behind producing the book and advertising the book, not counting the video production of the video show and the editing as well, and the video, like, you know, Vimeo or anything like that. And it was about $10,000 a year, but the actual amounts when you add it all in was more than that. So it was pricey. Anyway, so I've learned a lot. And now what my yearly fees are. Obviously, I've still got the company, an accountant, because I do hope that this will start earning money to cover its costs one day soon. I've still got the website hosting. I still obviously have to pay for the domain usage. I've still got the bank accounts. I still do the insurance. I still put that money aside for the computer for when, you know, whenever something new like the GDPR comes along. Even though I'm trying not to do any new courses, but for example, this year with the GDPR stuff, I bought a pack so that I've got, you know, some information about it and I could do my best to prepare for it, you know, as best as I could. And my yearly membership for the Alliance of Independent Authors, and obviously they're those stationary things that I've mentioned before, but roughly it's about 1,800 to 2,000 a year for just basic.
That's Congo. Great.
Isn't amazing? And that doesn't count book production in it. So I am spending more money in book production. So I'll briefly mention that. So my first book, I paid $2,000 for a cover design and interior design, and it was beautiful. That woman was amazing. She delivered a product. She was intuitive. She was on time. She was professional. She was fantastic and worth every penny, because the first book really has that trendy, foodie, you know, healthy kind of look to it. And it was great. And she did the different formats, the print, as well as the Mobi and the EPUB. And she would have done, like, you know, Ingram Spark print as well. But at the time I didn't know, you know, I didn't understand. And she explained it, but I was so overwhelmed with other decisions that in the end I was like, don't worry about it, we're all fine. We've done our offline local printing PDF, you know, everything's cool. But now, you know, the problem with that is I don't know how well my book will transfer from CreateSpace to GDB print. And, you know, if it doesn't transfer, I'm going to have to pay to change all of that. So I don't like not having that kind of control over these simple things, especially in these early days when I have to pay, when I've paid out so much and I've seen that it wasn't temporary. I'm now very hesitant, you know, to make a decision that's going to force me to be dependent on someone else, you know, at the moment. When I start earning money, I'm happy to pay that again. But until then, I now realise I need things to be flexible and I need to be able to update them. I can't be paying $50 a time to update something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I love the self-control. I love that I can upload things, change book matter, change cover sizes. I love that I have the control to do it all now.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting on people all the time and having to change things. I mean, every time I write a new book, I update my back matter. It takes a little bit, but, you know, I like that I've gotten to a point where I can do that. So everything about my indie author brand, I do myself. And, you know, but you're right. I think in the beginning, you need the help to learn.
Yeah.
And it's worth paying for good covers.
Yes.
To be seen, to get out there and
and
give it your best. Go out with a bang instead of, you know, oh, we'll slap this cover together. I can't afford editing, but we're going to put this book out. That is not going to help anybody.
So that was the design. I didn't pay for an editor for the first book because it was a cookbook, and essentially I don't know if I've discussed this before, but I was a scientist in my first education, you could say, after high school. You know, I did a science degree and I worked as a research scientist. Cooking is like science. You follow a method all day long. It's not sexy. It's not going to win literary awards. It's this is what you need. This is how much you need. This is how you make it. Step one, step two, step three. Now, you can make it sound better so it's clear, you know, by all means. But, you know, every recipe had a video that went with it as well that was free to watch on YouTube. So, you know, it was followable. And I've been writing methods for years. And so I didn't do an editor for that one. I've got my friends to edit it, obviously, like other scientists and non-scientists, so that way you get people saying, yeah, I understand what you mean here. But I didn't go down the path for that first book. As I said, we had the photographer. That was $750, which included all the images as well as food, images. And I did a local print run, which was $5,500 for 500 books. And, you know, that's an expense. It was local. I wanted to support a local business, and I, you know, do the environmentally friendly thing, less travel miles and all that. And yeah, it costs a lot. The biggest problem with that is when we did our PR run, they, you know, they send out their blast and they get 80 people saying, sure, let us have a look at the book and we might feature you on our blog or whatever. And so everyone wanted a book. And so 80 times $13 or $12.50, whatever it is, the cost price per book, that adds up. And then that's no guarantee that they will feature you, and that's no guarantee that they'll feature you and do more than a mention or a cover image and a short review. So, yeah, so what I've done now, like in the more recent cookbooks and with my fiction, I've taken the images myself. That saved a lot of money. I do have an editor. The cookbook editing didn't cost much because there's not a lot of words in the cookbook. So in the end, that wasn't too expensive. What else? I learned how to format it myself. I did an e-course, and I'll find the name of the guy who I did the e-course with, and we might even be able to chat with him. I think it's called Book Reality. I can't remember. I met him through the Alliance of Independent Authors. It was really cool. That's how I formatted the fiction book and the cookbooks, the ebooks. I don't do print runs now because, one, once it's out there, it's out there. Even when you take it down, people can on-sell it or sell, you know, old versions of it. So I'm really conscious about waiting before I put that print book out there. Yeah, and also, you know, like I had a call to action at the back of the print book that isn't easy for me to change, and I don't want that website that I've led people to anymore. I've now redirected it back to my website, but I'm going to have to pay for that website and that redirect for a few years to come because it's there in the back of the book, you know. Yeah. So these are things to think about, whereas at least now in the ebook I can update them. Yes, it takes time to update the back of 14 books, 11 cookbooks, but you know, it's, there's, like you're saying, there's that control that we can do it without having to fork out $50 to do it. So anyway, that is it. So it went from over 10,000 a year to around 2,000, and that's not counting the books. And with the fiction, I am doing more rounds of editing. I do hire a cover designer for the fiction because I just don't have those kind of skills or the desire. After learning how to edit and use a camera, I'm kind of maxed out now. It's like, I now just want to focus on craft and I want to write. It's like we were saying last week with the, you know, having the books you want to read in front of the shelf. I don't want to do all the shit I don't want to do anymore, keeping me from the thing I want to do. It's like I've moved those, get those out of the way. Just go straight to the thing I want to do now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there we go. Changed the costs quite a bit. Yeah, I'm feeling kind of, I'm happy with that. Because that's a more sustainable number for starters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I actually want to just add this in before we move on. The author journey is completely unique to each author. And I think you should really sit down and set a budget that you feel comfortable with, what you're willing to part with, regardless of whether you make money or not.
Yeah, like a hobby.
That's right. You know, we look at it as a business, but, you know, even if you never earned money, would you keep writing? Well, I know I would, because I absolutely love creating and I love writing books. And right now what I'm parting with per month is what I'm settled with and I'm happy. I mean, it's like doing anything else. You know, if you love camping, you're going to put the money aside for it, or writing's just my thing. And yeah. You've still got to love the journey without feeling sick that, you know, you've once again depleted your bank account trying to make it. So just because we're cutting down costs and we're telling you our basic costs of what it is to run, it doesn't mean you still don't need to market or you still can't market for free. There are so many websites out there that will promote your book on their website for free or a tiny cost, sometimes $5. It's up to you. You know, you don't have to go and join a million groups to be seen or hope, you know, authors will spread the word for you. There are some great groups on Goodreads you can pop into once a month. Even Facebook, there are some great groups you can pop into once a month and just say hello or just ask advice if you need it. And everything like that. So just because we're cutting costs down and we've cut ours down quite extensively, it doesn't mean we're still not out there promoting our books. I'm always using free sites and Armadillo Books and things like that. I think you can look up the Kindlepreneur and he's got a list of about 120 sites that you can promote your book on. So
maybe we can talk about that more when we're doing the book book launching and book marketing. What do you reckon?
Yeah, we
can. That way it won't get lost. Like, you know, we'll mention it again. So that way.
Yeah.
That's easy to find. All right. Do we want to do a little update on what we've done this week? Really brief?
Yes. Well, I was supposed to be working on my third book, Summer Notes. That I just could not find the motivation to do that. I don't think my head was there. I've been mucking around with covers actually, because I want to start a new series, a new adult series, slash romantic comedy. So my head's sort of been there and those characters are kind of screaming at me to write them. So I've started working a little bit on those books at the moment. As movies, I watched Pretty in Pink for about the thousandth time.
I haven't seen I don't think I've seen that.
You know what? Do not speak to me again until you watch Pretty in Pink. I mean, I love the 80s movies. I cannot get enough. I mean, I watch Blacklist because James Spader's in it. You know, like I love it. So you definitely have to watch Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles because Molly Ringwald just rocks. And apart from that, it's been a really quiet week. So there you go. That's my update in about 30 seconds.
All right. What have I done? I have not finished the tax yet, but we are closer. And it's not like there's a lot of numbers to add up. I think part of the avoidance with it all is that it's it's like the walk of shame. It's like you actually have to see how little you have to add up.
I know, it's like I don't want to look at the figures.
But it's not the only thing. Like, you know, you've got your personal family stuff. I'm winding down clinic stuff, so but I've still got that to run through. And then there's this the company stuff too. So yeah, so there's a bit of that, but I am getting closer and I've been ticking things off the list for that. So I'm feeling kind of proud. I've been a little bit of a doing ninja this week. I really am. I'm on a roll. As for writing, apart from writing about 300 words the other day, on another new series idea, I'm like, Lisa, no, control, lady, control. Write the next book in the series you've started.
Yes.
So I have reined myself back in and I've left that there on the sideline for one day. And I have started thinking about plotting the next werewolf book because I'm starting to gradually get some feedback now from my alpha readers, Miss Sarah, who hasn't read yet. But yeah, so it's cool. I've got about 3 people now out of the 7 or 8 who have read it. And so far people are basically saying, oh yeah, I like it. Yep. There's obviously things that need fixing and changing, you know. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. So I'm just starting to think about that and starting to read some books to kind of get me in the mindset for it because I want the subsequent books to have a little bit of a cozy mystery feel, but it's not cozy mystery. But you know that kind of feeling like, you know, it's one of the subplots, there'll be something yes. has to be found and, you know, like so – yeah, I'm doing a bit of – I'm rereading Janet Ivanovich, the Stephanie Plum books because I like them and they make me laugh. And not finished The Assassin Blade yet, but almost there. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Haven't watched anything. But speaking of 80 movies, I almost took a photo of it, but someone stood in front of me as the phone camera finally came up yesterday because I was going to send it to you and say, oh, my God, Heathers. Apparently they've remade Heathers.
Oh no! They remade Dirty Dancing.
What?
Yes, it's
how
terrible.
Did I miss this?
Oh, don't watch it. Honestly, I actually had to go back and watch the original Dirty Dancing just to get it out of my head. Honestly, don't mess with perfection, and you know, don't mess with Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze. It's just a huge no-no, okay? But, yeah, so I don't even want to hear that. That's terrible.
Yeah, apparently it's on Stan, which I've never – we're not with Stan. But, yeah, so there you go, Heathers. I did like the movie because I had a bit of a thing for Christian Slater back in the day.
Oh, my gosh. How much – oh, my gosh. So did I. I was so in love with him and Edward Furlong. Do you remember Edward Furlong?
No, probably if I see him, but off the top of my head, no.
You know, from Terminator 2. Do you remember Edward Furlong?
No.
Oh, my God.
The only thing, Lisa, I remember.
How you and I are friends, it just blows my mind.
I know, but somehow it works.
You know, when you were saying, you know, I'm a scientist. And I cook, and I'm like, you know, in my author profile, it says, I hate cooking, but I love eating. We are just so yin and yang. Like, you know, you're sitting there all beautiful and prim and proper on the screen here, and I've got my leg up on the table. Like, we are so different. It's just insane. Everything we do is so different. But I think that comes as a benefit to people because, I mean, you're going to get 2 sides of a coin here. So,
yeah, and I think you've just wildly set up the expectations, by the way. Yeah. I'm not wearing makeup or anything, people. My hair is mainly tail. And I'm wearing leggings. So.
All right.
But anyway. All right. Well, that's all right. Brings this to an end. Now, yeah, we've got a couple of weeks with school holidays, which is going to make our usual goal setting a bit tricky. So we're going to be discussing some topics instead.
Yes. Oh, can I just mention, sorry, that Amber in Love, my second book in the Sparkles series, came out yesterday. So whoever's listening, go and check it out.
Mm-hmm. And we will be discussing how the book launch goes in a few weeks' time. So next up, we are actually going to talk about our book launches. You know, we're keeping it honest. we'll share what we spent and how it went, and that rhymes. And we'll talk about that next. And we've got a few other topics here that we think might be handy to talk about, like these these challenges, which, you know, I don't think we're the only people going through these challenges. And so talking about it, even if you don't share, I can't remember the name of the movie. Is it Airheads? Where at the end, they're like, I played D&D too. Oh my God. Yeah. I love that saying. That just cracks me up. So you don't have to do an I played D&D too moment, but if you're feeling it, then, you know, that's cool. Then our work is done. And yeah. All right. So have a good week, people.
And yes. And don't forget to actually, you can send us messages. And if you download the app, which is the Anchor app, and look for Indie Author Diaries, you can send us messages, ask us questions, say hello. You can also visit anchor.fm and look up Indie Author Diaries, or you can go to our Instagram page, which is @IndieAuthorDiaries. And you can leave us a message there if you like as well, or follow us. And we will talk again next time.
Alrighty, have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.